systems, training, and support, the three pillars of business success. In this episode, John Tonkin from Brain in a Box challenges the common belief that systems alone are enough to run a successful business. He introduces the concept of the three pillars, systems, training, and support, and explains why all three are essential for sustainable business operations. You'll discover why the give it to someone off the street approach to systems often fails. Learn about the cake box simple principle and understand how to balance systematic processes with expertise. Perfect for business owners who want to build robust, scalable operations that maintain consistent quality. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Systems from the Box podcast. Let's start unpacking. John, I wanted to examine this topic of systems training support. It's something that you and I touched on off air a little bit, and it's a really interesting idea, this, because it's one thing to build the system. It's another thing that you need someone to actually train other people in that system and be able to oversee the system on an ongoing basis, isn't it? It's not just a case of, hey, let's build it and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah. If I go back, and I've heard in different business groups I relate to or am part of, I've heard this same message said in different ways. Your systems should be so good that you can give it to somebody off the street and they should be able to do it competently. Now, I think I cringe every time I hear that, because I think you do not understand what you say. You know, really, you can't be understanding it, because no one's going to do that. We wouldn't sort of say, oh, Jim, look, we need a new pilot for that big airliner there, and we couldn't find one, but here's the instruction, here's the systems to run that plane, fly that plane, could you go and do it? We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't say, we need surgery done on somebody, here's the procedure for doing that surgery, could you go and do it, please? So it's not realistic. For some things it might be. One of the things we talk about, and we mentioned this in our ebook, 11 Steps to Better Systems, and we talk about making things cake box simple. And cake box simple is a fantastic approach that we can use in some things, but not everything. To make something cake box simple, and I'll use the example of the cake box, we're in the supermarket with a child, and the child reaches up and says, Daddy, I want to make that cake. That really looks lovely. And so we look at it. What attracted them in the first place? They saw the picture of the cake on the front. And so we now get it down. This might be a 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old child. And they're looking at it on the front, and it shows a picture of exactly the cake they want, obviously. And if you turn it over, you're looking at some of the best instructions you're going to read anywhere, because those instructions have to be able to help that child make that cake just like it looks on the front, or pretty close to it. And it's almost always the case. So there are some things that we can actually have it so that they are going to be cake box simple. Some things we can say, if you do this, it will work properly. And you look at IKEA and you look at places like that where if you put it together, it should look like this. So that leg you've got poking out sideways is wrong, you know, and so on. So we got little things like that.
Those extra screws that you found, that's...
They were spares. I'm sure they put them in their
spares.
Yeah. So we know that it isn't just a matter of sort of making everything cake box simple, because everything can't be, because some things are much more complex. And so that's where we now have to realize that we need to have something where you have to have the system. Here is exactly how we're going to do it, but I'm going to have to train you in doing that so that you can do it competently when I'm not there. Because if you think about it, all that we've got otherwise is, if I say, here is how to change something very complicated on this big complicated engine, if I have to stand there and tell you, well, I may as well do it with you, I may as well do it myself. So the only way I can get it so that you can do that is to give you the system and then train you in doing that and help fine-tune your actions as you go through it, and then hand it over to you at some stage. But as I hand it over to you, having done, given you the system and provided training, which isn't just necessarily a once through, it'll probably be iterative. At the end of that, I would still be providing support, which is where we're going along and saying, hey, yeah, that's right. Yep, you've got that. That's exactly right. You're doing that properly. Fantastic. Thanks, Jim. And so on. Support can be those little things where it's either a positive or a sanctioning thing where we're saying, hey, whoops, no, please don't put it down there. It should go over there. Remember? That's right. Remember we said that we're always going to put it there, et cetera. All those little things that make it work. And if we think about it, if we were showing a child, maybe not with that cake, but maybe with that cake, how to use the Mixmaster machine, you know, the cake mixer or the mixer, using something like that, we're likely to say, all right, now don't go too fast, otherwise it'll be everywhere. And don't do this and do that, and more do's than don'ts, hopefully. But we're going to go through, and eventually that child can make that cake, or in this case, that person can put together that or work on that engine and make it operate the way it's supposed to. But it's always going to be a matter of, here's the system, here's how we believe is the best way of doing it, the one best way of doing it. We are now going to train you in how to do that using this very system, not using something else, not just, oh, look, it's there if you want to look at it, but I'm going to show you how to do it. That's not the right idea. So we've got the system, we've got the training we provide, and then we continue to provide support. And sometimes when we provide support, because we're watching as well, that's what support also means, not just giving support, but also watching and assessing. Sometimes it may be that we realize, you know what, they actually haven't picked this bit up. They need more assistance on that. They need more help there. And so it may well be a matter then of going back and saying, hey, can we go, I think we might go through how we do this bit again. And so you may then jump straight back into the systems plus training bit again to build that up. And it's going to be like that all the time. Why do people do refresher courses? Because they're stupid? No, because they do things and they build habits, and not all those habits are good. So we want to make it so that we don't have habits guiding us. We want good practice, good business practice guiding us. So that's where, you know, Cakebox Simple is really the same thing, because here's the image. Here's what done looks like. Here's the instruction to do it. And you'll have mum or dad or someone else or your own experience guiding you. But now if we don't have that, we're going to need something else. So systems plus training plus support.
I love that Cakebox Simple example, because what comes into that as well, anyone that's baked a cake or done any kind of cooking, there are two types of people. There are the people that read the recipe and do things exactly as the recipe says. It says, you know, it says half a teaspoon of, There will be exactly half a teaspoon of. Then there are others that kind of go, yeah, it's roughly, it's intuition, right? And we have that in business as well, that there are things that you know how to do because it's intuitive. And sometimes you know what, we've got to ramp this up just a little bit more in this particular situation, whereas other times we got to, you know, pull it down a little bit. How do you account for that in a system?
That there's always going to be that bit which is expertise. And I think I'd come straight back to that. So if we're doing something, like if we're making coffee, if we're training to be a barista, if you train to be a barista, it's going to say, oh, for this grinder and for this machine, we've calibrated the grinder, by the way, and it's calibrated and it's going to give you a shot in 32 seconds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or whatever it might be. And it will be perfect. I'm just making the numbers up. But it'll be perfect if you do that. But then that might have been done on a fairly dry day, but on a humid day, the coffee will be slightly different potentially. And so the grind might have to change a little bit. The grind might have to be a little bit coarser and so on. And I don't know, I could have said it the wrong way around, but there may be something that changes there. So there's always that little bit of expertise that's going to come into the game somewhere. And we do it with woodworking. If you are working with wood, you know, you've got the grain in the wood and you've got to select the timber, not just by the length and the width and the thickness and all the rest of it, but by the grain to make sure that you can cut it the right way and do the right things with it. There's always going to be that little bit of expertise in there that means that it'll work out properly. I made a chili con carne last night, and it was very nice, thank you. But when we were doing it, my wife said, "Oh, John, that's way too hot, way too spicy," and so on. And I said, "Don't worry, by the time it's cooked out, a lot of the heat will have gone." And indeed, by the time, not a lot, but some of the heat had gone. And so, you know, it ended up being that way. But if I had just gone by the measure would have been correct if somebody else knew the same thing, obviously. But just by going by the taste when you make it isn't the taste when you serve it. And it's the same with so many things we cook. It's a matter of that expertise coming into the game somewhere. Because I can guarantee, having cooked for 12 years professionally, that many years ago, that there are a lot of things that aren't written down. If you look at the repertoire, which is a repertoire is a book that is, has all the standard recipes that everyone in a proper kitchen should know. However, it has the items. It doesn't have the amounts. Well, the version I looked at didn't have the amounts. So it doesn't give you a recipe with amounts. It doesn't say, you know, 200 grams of this and 100 grams of that and so on. It simply says, these are the things you need. And it's just using it as a little aide memoir, a little reminder of what's in it rather than the actual content of that. So there's always going to be room for that expertise component in there with most things.
With most, absolutely. Hey, John, I just want to take a break from the main part of the podcast for a moment so you can tell us a little bit more about Brain in a Box.
So Brain in a Box started, the idea started when I was working in corporate. I was working in a couple of major companies, internationals, and I decided that when I went out and started my first business in 2000, that it was going to use the same principles as I had done in corporate world to capture systems and to make them accessible to the team. But I thought, I've got to be able to do this for small business, small to medium business, and that's what we focus on. So we work with the business owner, with the team, to capture what the business does, and then to minimize the risk by going through and looking at all the risks that we have to manage, make sure we capture those and manage them effectively, and also to achieve the benefit. And then we make all that. That's just effectively what it is.
Now, I'm going to come back to that whole idea of expertise. In fact, I think there's a whole episode that we can do on that. So, but I wanted to bring it back to where we started the conversation, which is really around the idea of training and support, because yes, there's got to be a little bit of intuition, as we were just saying there, but realistically in a business, you need someone who does take ownership of these systems and the idea of training and overseeing people and having, and how important is it as well to have that person have the ability to have authority to say, you're not doing that right.
Yeah. Okay. And this comes to another point, which isn't maybe the point we want to talk about right now, but I'll come to it anyway, confront every breach. So we might just come back to that in a little while. But when we have people doing anything, when we're training them, we train them to a standard. We train people to, you know, to make this thing, whatever this thing is, this loaf of bread, it's made to a standard. So the standard that we may expect from somebody at the beginning may not be the standard we expect of the expert. So somebody who's making their first sourdough is probably going to have a fairly dense, heavy loaf of bread that someone says, "Oh, Jimmy, that's lovely. That's fantastic." And so on. Whereas after Jimmy's been making that bread for a couple of months and he's actually started to get it perfected now, when we say, "Oh, Jimmy, that's lovely, that's fantastic," it probably is, because there's that skill that's come from doing it over and over again. Because as we go along, obviously there are, even if we're doing what we think is exactly the same thing, we'll do it with that little bit more finesse. We'll do something in there that will have that little bit of expertise coming through. And so that's part of what the support is as well. Remember, so systems plus training plus support. The systems is the actual instruction, if you like, the steps to follow to get there with all the different variations that it might be in that process. The training is us making sure that we overlay that system with the expertise that we can give. And so that's an important point to note. We're actually overlaying the expertise on top of the system with the expectation that the person learning that system or being shown that system will absorb the expertise that goes on top of the step one, step two, step three, et cetera, and so on. And again, when we're going around and providing support, we're going to be going through with that and saying, that's fantastic. You've improved that so much since yesterday or whatever, and so on, because we do want to acknowledge that expertise. Nothing succeeds like success. You know, we see it where a child learning, if they're told all the time that they are failing, they will almost certainly end up failing. Whereas if they're told that they are succeeding, that they're doing well, they will start to actually do well if you tell them at the right time. If you tell them when they're doing rubbish, they probably won't get better. But, you know, if there's an element of truth in what you're telling them, the feedback and the feedback that gives them that positive recognition of what they're doing, they're likely to keep on improving. So the expertise is that overlay over the top of systems plus training plus support. We're trying to transfer more and more of it. And then the last little bit of it is where we, with the support, we're trying to make sure we get that last little bit of expertise across. Or, as I said before, we would recognize that we need to come back and retrain something. Or we may actually recognize that there's an improvement in the system.
Yeah, that's an important point there, is the improvement part, because it could just be that, you know, whether it's one day there's a realization or somebody's seen something where they go, oh, what if we just added a little bit of, you know, using a cooking analogy, what if we added a little extra pinch of salt at this point? What would it do to the overall end result? And that could be huge. So it's also in this whole idea of this system for training and support and the expertise layered in there, somewhere there has to be the ability to make some small shifts that are going to improve the system.
Yes and no. So that's where we come to change management. And change management is such an incredibly important thing to do with systems. What changes do we allow? What changes don't we allow? Some changes will be a change in expertise level. So now it's okay, I'll let Jim do that because now he understands bread making and I'm happy for him to do that. Whereas somebody doing it the first day, what are you doing? That's stupid. It will end up being horrible, you know, and so on. So there are different levels of understanding there. And obviously in business, we want to make sure that when we have 24 Rolls Royces going off the production line, they all go off with the same level of quality. If we allow that little bit of customization, which Rolls Royce does because they do all the finishing is done by hand, generally speaking, everything's aligned by hand and so on, it will be very, very good. But those are master craftsmen doing that. Most of us don't have master craftsmen in the business. So what we have to do is to take the ability to make changes away from the operator, the user, the worker, to a certain extent and build them into the system to a larger extent. So the more skilled the more expert is the worker, the less oversight there will be. And potentially the more opportunity for them to refine something to suit. The less skill there is in the working team or the less detailed the systems for that matter, the less prescriptive is the system, the more monitoring you've got to do. You've got to monitor what they're doing because you haven't got it covered in the system. So you're either going to be letting somebody be an expert and refine something as they go a little bit, we don't want that generally speaking in business. We want to have the same outcome every time. So therefore, we're either going to have good, strong systems or good, strong supervision, which is what I was trying to say a moment ago. Strong supervision means we got 1.5 people doing one person's job. So therefore, if we can pull back that extra half supervision into the process, we will end up with something better. And that's again the importance of systems plus training plus support.
Before you go, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you're tuned to. Thank you for listening to the Systems from the Box podcast featuring John Tonkin from Brain in a Box. Details on how to contact John and his team are in the show notes, along with other valuable links you don't want to miss. This podcast is produced by Podcast Done For You. I'm Anthony Pearl. We look forward to your company on the next episode.